Welcome to Business Beat. We're here for a new show. Really excited. We're still on the air.
We are still on the air. They haven't kicked us off yet.
Well, you know, I think it's because we have powerful, imaginative guests.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And of course, I think David Ginsberg has something to say. So, David, without further ado, who is our guest for this show?
Very excited to welcome Kimberly Salmon from Fallon Community Health. Welcome, Kim.
Okay. Thank you.
Very excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, you've got quite a relationship with the city and David, and you do a lot of giving. And so we're really into corporate community, and we really like it when corporations reach back out and make a positive change in the community. So could you just describe a little bit of what you're involved in right now?
Yeah, so I am the Director of Community Relations and Engagement at Fallon Health. I have been there for 8 years. And, I say that I'm probably the luckiest person on earth because I have one of the most amazing jobs. I get to go out and affect change in community, and that's done through giving, you know? So, I mean, giving. I get to give money away and use that money to really truly make a difference in the community. So
let's talk a little bit about how the program works. Can you describe it?
We have our community relations program. We have several different funding priorities. Our priorities are aligned with our mission. Our mission is around making our communities healthy. So we identify priorities like children and youth health initiatives or senior health initiatives. So we really want them to align with our most underserved members. And we like to go into the community and understand what those barriers are that affect them. So we look at things like food insecurity. We look at things like transportation. We look at things like workforce development or education. And a lot of people don't think that those things affect health outcomes, but they do. They're considered social determinants of health. And those are the things that cost healthcare the most. So, you know, if you don't have food, it affects your ability to take your medication. If you don't have transportation, you can't get to your medical appointments. These are things that affect those outcomes. So we look at those and try to identify ways that we can put resources to in the community to really help to lift those barriers.
So let's talk about food insecurity, which is a really important term, and I don't think people understand what this is about. It's not a situation where you don't have it, but it's that you're worried about it every single day. Yeah. Where's my budget? Is this something I afford? What do I have to not get in order to do this? And when you're a parent and you have children or you're trying to provide for others, then you're making very difficult decisions. Long term, this is health. It's stress, which is horrible for you. And then if you've got young school-age kids, they're not getting the nutrition they need for their development and for their education, and it has a long ramification. So food insecurity is a big deal.
Yeah, it really is, and it's something that Fallon has been doing for about 13 years now. So we have really put a tremendous amount of efforts into fighting food insecurity. And I say food insecurity, and I'm glad you spoke to that. I'm not talking about healthy food.
I'm talking
about kids going to bed at night because feeling hungry, kids going to school and not having lunch, kids, you know, hoping that, you know, they'll have something to eat in the course of the day and you know, waking up in the middle of the night with stomach pains. You know, I'm talking food insecurity like that. So yes, it's a big issue.
There is, and there's an old expression that calories are cheap, nutrition's expensive, and that ties into food insecurity as well. And that, you know, if you have a couple bucks, you can run to the corner store and get something, get a snack, but it's going to be empty calories, and not, you're still going to have that gnawing feeling in your stomach again a couple of hours later. It's not a long-term solution to anything.
Right, and you can't sustain on that.
Right.
You know.
So how does Fallon actually address, like, when you do your community outreach with food insecurity? How does that, at a functional level, how does that happen?
So, we have an incredible grant-making program. Cheryl's in the studio with me today, and you have an incredible team that helps you to really push your programs out across the state, because we do support across Massachusetts. And we do things, we have next week coming up, just in terms of things that we do. We are building a pantry at a school pantry at Clinton High School.
Oh, wow.
And we have built several pantries here in Worcester. We rebuilt the one at South. We built a brand new pantry at Burntcoat High School. We built a pantry at Boys and Girls Club, at South Worcester Neighborhood Improvement Performance Center and Abby Kelly. So it's, and in addition to that, we also have programs like we have coming up right now where we engage all of our employees. We have over 1,000 employees who all chip in to feed the families at the holidays.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we distribute about close to just under 400 bags of food to everyone right before the Christmas, along with gift cards to help them pay for their, you know, their proteins and their dairy products to offset their meals. But we push those out all across the state. It's just one way that we can make a difference. We also helped St. John's Food for the Poor. We had gotten a call from Small Business Insurance Bureau saying that they had an accident in their van, and their van is critical to supplying food and resources to the community. They were doing food rescue with the van they were distributing. And they have an incredible program where they actually distribute food to the working poor. So there are a lot of people who are struggling, who are working every day and can't afford to put food on their tables. So they provide lunches so that you can go in before you go into work and get your lunch and a bag lunch, and you can take it for so that you can go to work and you have something to eat. I mean,
that's
like
amazing.
Some incredible resources in this city. We have an incredible city addressing food insecurity, many incredible organizations. But we also donated their van. So when we heard that their van had been in an accident, we got a call saying, can you donate some money towards it? And you know, Richard Burke, our CEO, was like, we're gonna give him a van. And I said, absolutely.
That is, so, that's incredible.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
yeah.
incredible.
So it's just an issue that is really kind of core to who we are. And you know, so we have a monthly grant, mini grant program. We have corporate sponsorship, but we also have our large community benefits grants, which helps to support many organizations at different levels and many different issues. And then we also have a specific food insecurity fund as well. So just to focus on food insecurity exclusively.
So we talk, and David, we talk all the time about how Worcester's a burgeoning community. There's a lot going on here. There's a huge dynamic happening. Mm-hmm. In the 8 years you've been here, you've seen obviously a lot of change. Mm-hmm. Can you describe the dynamic then and where we are now and what people can do to help or how things have changed and you know where you need to address?
Yeah, so David and I have known each other since we were
a long time.
Yeah, so since elementary
That's
school,
right.
which was like just not that long ago.
That's right. Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we just graduated from
Congratulations.
The Arty.
I was born while I'm staying alive.
So I mean, this city has gone through a tremendous amount of change, right. and more so today. I mean, the skyline has changed.
Right?
You know, I mean, we have streets where we had buildings, you know, our Galleria, but and we have a new baseball field coming in, you know, the Woo Sox. So we have a lot of change happening here. But with change, there's also challenge, you know. But we have so many nonprofit community resources, and they're needed. You know, they're needed through Renaissance to come out and to help lift people when they fall back. You know, some of the challenges that are happening in Worcester as it is evolving and growing is affordable housing.
Right.
You know, that's a huge challenge that we have to get behind.
The rental market's gotten very tight.
Yeah,
and the rents
it
in Worcester
has.
Have gone, there's something like a 3% vacancy rate, and the mm-hmm. rents in Worcester have gone through the roof.
Right. And that's difficult because people didn't plan for that kind of compression.
No, they didn't.
You know, if you want to build a budget and you rather, you know, next year they're going to probably raise the rent, what, $100, mm-hmm. $200,
right.
and next thing you know it's $500,
right.
that completely takes you out of the game,
yep.
and it's not a time frame that anybody's prepared to make that kind of lifestyle change. Changing housing is one of the first things that can put somebody into poverty,
of course,
right?
Of course
right.
it is. And when, I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, what do you need?
Right.
You need a place to lay your head. You know, you need a home to go to. And they say that your rent or your mortgage, your housing cost should only be a third of your income.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, that's just not happening
right.
anymore. So what
right.
are we doing to kind of get ahead of it? But the city has just launched 3 incredible new programs. They at the Chamber Game Changers, they talked about the housing report, you know, what's happening in the city. So people are talking about it. That's the thing that I love about Worcester. Now, I'm all over the state. I cover all of the all of Massachusetts.
Wow.
Worcester's the most collaborative.
Right.
The community comes together.
We're going to take a little second out of this interview to talk about why local radio is so important and what makes a station like WICN so important to a place like Worcester. Radio is an oasis for a community. as we move forward in technology, as we move forward in our social media and our tablets and our phones, one of the oldest technologies that exists is actually radio. And it's something that your grandparents and great-grandparents listened to. It's what brought them together. And it's wonderful that in this day and age, this is still a tool that a community can use to stay connected. What's great about the programming here at this station is that they have the full gamut of music with the full gamut of topics with DJs from all over that bring real expertise to it. And they also reach out to the community and become part of the events that go on. In the case of Arts Worcester, they're directly involved with some of the events that are happening, and you'll see more involvement going forward. So you need to get involved with WICN, and you should tell WICN what you're interested in so they can promote you. That's what it's for. It's really rare to have a pulpit like this or a soapbox like this or a place to speak from. And that's what makes this station so wonderful. And it's something that as we go forward becomes more rare, and it needs to be treasured by this community. So the fact that we're here talking to business leaders about what they're doing and sharing this information with you, you can be doing this too. If you'd like to be on this program, please let us know. You can reach us here at WICN, and we'd love to have you and have you share your thoughts and share your inspiration for other people to become part of the Worcester community. And now back to our interview.
I'm going to say that, and that's definitely something as we've done this show, right. The innovative programs, the community support, and the direct interaction here in Worcester is unusual.
Yes.
It's not like this everywhere.
It is, and I think some of that comes from if you grew up in Worcester and lived here a long time, there's a systemic sort of feeling of an underdog, feeling a little bit left behind because the rest of the state accelerated, and then Providence had this renaissance, and Worcester is still stagnating, and now Worcester is having their moment, having a renaissance, and people are really, everyone's sort of in on it and happy to see this thing. There's this civic pride that's come through that we didn't have before. And I think that leads to that level of collaboration that we want to succeed together, that we have a chance to do this. This is our moment. We have a chance to do it the right way. Let's all do it together and do it the right way and not have this stratification that then leads to divisions and neighborhoods are isolated and we don't have services and people are left behind and shut out from being able to participate and live a quality of life that they've grown accustomed to.
I think it's in the long-term best interest of any community to address, especially in the triage that you do. You realize that, and we do a lot of work with not-for-profits. We do a lot of work with people who come in and assist. And what we're hearing is that it can be the difference of $250.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can be the difference of $175 that takes somebody from being a capable citizen into having to make a decision about not paying rent, getting kicked out of their housing, and then all of a sudden it spirals right out of control. If you can hit it right before that point, help people budget, get people fed, get them to work on time, because transportation is another huge issue.
Right.
If you don't have a good transportation system in a city, how do people get from one place to the other to be capable members of the community?
Right.
So as you triage, what are the things that you look for?
So, we really speak to the community. I mean, you can't make decisions for the community without engaging the community. So for Fallon, we actually do a comprehensive, meetings in the community. We do a community health needs assessment. We meet with the community. We meet with the community-based organizations. We collaborate with the providers. We collaborate with corporate leaders. We really engage everyone, as the city does. I mean, it's important. If you're going to address issues that affect our community, then you need to ask the community what those issues are. We can't make assumptions. We have to ask them, what is it that really keeps you up at night? What is it that you struggle with? Is it transportation? How can we address transportation? Is it affordable housing? What can we do to address affordable housing? Not just affordable housing, but, is the housing that is affordable safe? So do people have the resources to maintain their homes, to make sure that their homes are healthy? Or if the rentals, if there are rental properties, are the individuals who own these multifamilies, because we're the city of multifamilies, of hills with three families in it, are those properties being maintained? And that was one of the things I was saying earlier, is that the city has actually been able to get some funding for the city to help to get those three families up to date.
That's incredible. Had a great conversation about triple deckers. It's the heart of Worcester.
Yes.
It's the family.
Yes.
I mean, I'm from Chicago. There's triple deckers. I'm used to. That's where, that's that population density that makes it a city.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lose that, then you really lose an important part of it.
And you lose them in part because people convert them to condos. They see quick dollars and you can turn these around and get a premium, especially in the market currently. having them remain affordable and having them as rental units that that a family can live in and build a life the way previous generations have done so is critical to the city. And we talk about transportation in the city. You know, as the city grows and traffic is getting worse, if you've driven in Worcester lately, you've certainly experienced it, that it, you know, we used to take 10 minutes, now it takes 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that we've got to address that, whether it's public, you know, buses that are going, the van systems that help to get people, patients to their appointments, those sorts of things, bike lanes are going in. How do we maintain the infrastructure that's going to allow the city to grow at a rate that's going to still maintain a quality of life for people that are at the lower end of the scale and need to get to work, need to get to doctor's appointments, need to get kids to school, et cetera?
Exactly. I mean, let's just go back up a little bit. And how did Fallon come to put this program together? Because I see this as unusual, but I mean, it's obviously a benefit for you as well, because you are able to stay connected. You mm-hmm. are listening to them, and it allows you to make way more effective decisions because mm-hmm. you're constantly out there interacting. I think sometimes corporations can go about their business doing mm-hmm. the way they were doing it 5 years ago, but it sounds to me like you're a little bit more in touch.
Well, I mean, we're a member-driven organization. We have members, and the most important thing is their health. So, you know, when we get in the community, when we become a part of the community, when we engage at the community level, that's the only way that we can really impact change. So, you know, Fallon knew this. I've been there for 8 years, but, you know, we've been focusing on these issues long before I came to Fallon. They hired me because my background was community, and I had, you know, over 30 years. I mean, 30 years of... I had over 30 years of working in community and working in nonprofits. So they, you know, wanted somebody who was going to really engage at the grassroots level, not, you know, sit in an office and try to, you know, make change, affect change from, you know, from my office. So they knew I would be a person who'd go in the community and make a difference, and we do. So, and I don't do it alone. You know, all of our employees engage. So right. we that's have, amazing. You know, I mean, that's a big piece of it.
I definitely want to talk about the volunteerism mm-hmm. right now. So, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. I mean, it sounds like, as you said, you've had 3 years prior experience. But I mean, can you talk a little bit, like, what makes Fallon different as far as the engagement and the employees' engagement?
So, you know, we focus on finding out what our employees like to do. So we serve on boards. We participate in United Way. We do some of, I mean, Worcester has some incredible organizations that help to bring our employees out in the community. Pow Wow, which transforms the hardscapes in this city, working for Worcester. We, with Fallon, we have built a dance studio at Vernon High School. We built at Elm Park Elementary School, which is a community school. Those kids there are phenomenal, but the kids come from, you know, they're underserved kids, and their school, a newer school, but the programs and resources that they had were, they didn't have the spaces to be able to accommodate them. We put a pantry in there. We put a new classroom where it was in this big space that was being underutilized. So we brought in carpet. This is all of our employees. Wow. And built out a classroom that could transform into an entertainment space, a gathering for all of the kids. We also built a clothing closet. Wow. And we built a meeting area for parents to come in and meet with teachers. So we, you know, went into that school, which if you see that school, it was also hit by Pow Wow. So it was a school that was kind of ignored and a school that just came alive. And we came in right around that same time. Pow Wow did the murals. We put in a new playground. Wow. A new basketball court, right. And then we did all of the internal spaces as well. So it's our employees get behind this, right. You know, and we're not the only organizations who do this. I mean,
well,
there's,
but
you know,
you lead
Fallon
by example,
is,
and then when other people seeing you see you do it, they want to do it too. And this is that temperature change that really makes a community a community. Like I said, we've been really pleasantly surprised by the support and the engagement that Worcester seems to show, and things like public art are. Though they seem, for a lot of people, seem very low on the importance scale. Mm-hmm. But the reality is a community that cares about itself, cares about its heart spaces and heartscapes and paints and makes things look nice, has an overall health about itself makes you feel like you belong someplace, that it cares about you. And there's a language that's there. that's just rare. It's just not how people look at things. They say, okay, I'm going to do a physical program. We're going to throw $1 million at this. Mm-hmm. And they think they've done their job. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you really have to do a better job analyzing it to get to the real results.
You do. And you have to understand what makes your city beat. You know, you just said, you know, that Worcester cares about its hardscapes. We do. We care about our arts, our culture, our community, our diversity. I mean, that's what makes us such an incredible city. We are a diverse melting pot. And the arts, the culture, you know, we're taping here at WICN, you know, one of the last remaining, you know, jazz and blues stations in the city, nonprofit itself. I mean, there's some incredible resources, and this is in the heart of our art and culture district. We have foundations that are supporting the arts and culture in this community. Arts Worcester is right next door. We have pop-up arts. The arts, the entertainment, the culture, it's incredible.
So we're just going to take a moment to get into some of the detail about the studio that we're in, Studio 50 at WICN. This is what you can find for content on the website, so I'm just going to read this out to you and talk a little bit about why it's so important. Studio 50 is located at WICN Public Radio at 50 Portland Street in Worcester, in the heart of the artistically emerging Grid and Theater District, and is now open for business. Full digital recording studio with Avid C24 mixing board and Pro Tools, 24-hour access, acoustic grand piano, and state-of-the-art acoustically engineered live room that can be used for performance or recording. This exciting location resides inside WICN Public Radio, taking you from conception to broadcast possibilities. Producers, engineers, coaches are all on staff. Recording training is available. Take your next project to Studio 50 and be inspired. That's where we're at, and that's what's so great about this particular room. Everybody has a podcast. You can have a podcast, and you can come here, and you can get that in professionally, as opposed to going to one of the other studios where you pay for a fee, you record in a room, and they make you take it home and edit it. They'll actually come here and put an engineer in the room with you and help you get everything set up, so it makes it so much simpler and really retains the quality control that you want on a podcast. So if you're thinking about podcasting, and you're thinking about creating content, and you're thinking about recording music, give them a call here at WICN and let them know. All right, well, now back to our interview.
I do want to take this opportunity to thank David, because we are in the studio. So for people who don't know, once again, it's not an accident that you're here, but this is really David's, you know, it's a mission here for him at the station. So let's talk about that.
This is our Studio 50. You mentioned Powwow, Worcester So Powwow, which does these beautiful murals all over the city. There's a festival every year. They actually did a live podcast recording here in Studio 50 at the end of August as part of the festival. There's murals right across the street from, if you ever want to come down to Portland Street and take a look. But it is essential. But our Studio 50 here is a community resource. At a very affordable rate, you can record live bands, you can make demo albums. We have a young man who is a senior in high school, recorded a demo album here, and he is now going to be attending Berklee in the fall for School of Music. He applied to Berklee, Juilliard, got into all of them, huge talent. So Cam Cameron, we're looking forward to hearing a lot from you in the future. But live band recordings, we can do podcast recordings, we can film TV shows, as we're doing here right now. Studio 50 is available. Email me, david@wicn.org, very easy. We'll make it work. Studio 50 is available to the community. We want to help support the arts and culture in our homegrown talent level, especially for kids that are coming up that want to have a resource to record or get exposure to the recording process. We just finished a six-week program with South High School students called Youth in Harmony, six Saturdays in a row. A group of kids came in, they learned everything from using the software to setting up mics, doing a lot of stuff that you guys do professionally. Tremendous experience for them, and they walk away now having a solid foundation of how this actually works and not sort of a pie in the sky. Well, I'd like to do this someday, but now they have a hands-on experience of doing so and can contribute further. So again, Studio 50 is available. If you want to make arrangements to use the studio, email me, david@wicn.org. We'll make it work for you.
Anytime you can change somebody from a consumer to a creator,
absolutely,
you do something amazing, especially at a young age. You can inspire them. And once they're inspired, they want to inspire other people. Wonderful thing. And I was going to say something else about your philanthropy, which is that when you help somebody, they are more likely to help somebody else. When you give somebody a leg up, when they have the opportunity, they do it for somebody else.
Well,
can you talk
forward,
a little bit about
definitely.
The things that you've seen in your journey?
I think that, just pay it forward. So, Fallon has this incredible program where we gave all of our employees an opportunity to pay it forward, to identify organizations, and just the empowerment that gives to an individual to be able to kind of think about, you know, I have this resource and I can really change someone else's life. It makes a huge difference. It really, it just, it changes a person to know that they can do something that is going to help someone, you know, and we see it every day. You know, I mean, obviously, we're fortunate. We set up a place for our employees to be able to volunteer, but they do it because they want to. Right. I mean, this is something that is, you know, it means so much to them to be able to go out and make a difference, to be able to, in their case, pay it forward. They take their time, they invest their time, they invest their resources. These employees are coming out on weekends. They're coming out in evenings. They want to do something. And, you know, when we're making contributions in the community, the resources that we're giving to an organization, those employees, those nonprofits are making a difference, and they're making it last and making it impactful.
Right. I think it's really neat what you're saying. I think that also in a time like right now, there's some uncertainty in the world. There's some, you know, there's change that's happening. Economy's always on people's minds. When you provide people the opportunity to actually affect real change, to participate and be successful at it, give them that satisfaction, that quality of life, I think that's extremely important, because I think, you know, lots of us wonder, what can I do? Am I making an impact? Can I, how can I help? And you know, so the incentive to throw a dollar into a hat is there because you want to try to do good, but here you really create a platform for people to be successful at helping.
It's important. I, when you think about changing somebody's life or just, you know, doing something that is going to make a difference, you want to give them that power. You know, you want to give them, you want to make them feel like, you know, they're part of that decision, they're part of that process. And, you know, giving them that opportunity to make a decision on, you know, their well-being or, you know, or investing in their community. It's, you can't do it without them. So, yeah.
It's amazing. I, for one, am extremely impressed. How can people engage with you and learn more about your programs?
So in January, we're going to be launching our new funding priorities. And we're very excited about launching these new funding priorities. I'll give you a hint. It's probably going to have something to do with food insecurity. we're actually going to do something a little bit different this time when we launch them. We are going to we're going to launch them, but we're going to actually go into the community and have listening sessions across the state. And we are going to let the community help us to decide how to invest those resources back in the community. So we're going to look at, you know, communities coming together and collaborating like Worcester does. And we're going to charge every community to do that, to come together to help determine how do we make a difference in addressing these issues. So we're going to let them decide how those resources are going to be invested and help us to, you know, really truly make a difference. So it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to get their feedback. They're going to help to, you know, come up with the programs, the strategy, and we're going to make it happen. So.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's incredible.
I mean, thank you so much for being here. Behalf of David and
myself. Thank you.
Super informative, and it just inspires us to be able to give you a platform to share all your good work with the audience. So thanks for watching Business Beat this week and listening to Business Beat this week. We'll be back with another show next week, and thank you to WICN for providing the opportunity to create a platform for people to let people know what's going on.
It's all about Worcester.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next week.